So, today, the title of my message is Priority. Priority. What are your priorities? In the, I'm going to transition from Revelation to a different, many different subjects. One of them is, actually, you'll hear the titles in the coming weeks. But we will continue to study Revelation in our home groups, for those of you who are in home groups. In a couple weeks ago, just a recap, Peter talked about habits. And I tell you, that sermon's been just stuck with me. Habits, life-controlling habits. You know, he said it's not easy to break bad habits. But also, it's not easy to develop good habits. And one of the questions I wrote down was, what are some things you are making, what are some things you're doing to create good habits? What are some of the bad habits in your life that are just destroying relationships or destroying your health? Because there are also bad habits that are not good for you. What are some good habits you need to start develop to be healthier? Now, we're talking about spiritually, emotionally, and physically. You know, there's a huge statistic out there that says 43%, about 43% of our lives are controlled by habits. God may have a plan for you. Be careful, because your habits might cause you to not benefit from God's blessings. Your habits can cause you to escape God's grace. So therefore, adapt good habits. A couple questions. Now, I'm asking a lot of questions. You know, we're talking about habits. You can break bad habits depending on where your priorities are. I have a picture on, is that picture ready? Have any of you ever felt like that way? Any of you, have you ever felt like this? I mean, I know all of you, this picture can have many interpretations. You know, unless you schedule your priorities, they don't happen. Growth. Unless you schedule your priorities, they don't happen. Now, today, I'm going to take some time to share with you some of my priorities and let God teach you. I'm going to be like talking about some of my priorities and let the Lord teach you. So, let's open the Bible. In Exodus chapter 18, Exodus 18. It's just great, great story in Exodus 18. It's Jethro's visit to Moses. What are your priorities? Or what is your priority? What is it? What is something that's just a priority in your life? Or what are some things you need to prioritize? Have you set priorities in your life? What are you going to do about scheduling your life? So your priorities can be in the perfect place. You know, I hear people say, you better have your priorities straight, right? So now listen to this story in Exodus chapter 18, verse 1. Open your Bibles, or maybe we can have it on the screen. Verse 13, but I want to read from verse 1. That way you will have a perspective what happened before verse 13. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, heard about everything God had done for Moses and his disciples and his people, the Israelites. He heard specially about how the Lord had rescued them from Egypt. Verse 2. Earlier, Moses had sent his wife, remember this, Zipporah, and his two sons back to Jethro, who had taken them in. Moses' first son was named Gershom, for Moses had said, when the boy was born, I've been a foreigner in a foreign land. His second son was named Eleazar, for Moses had said, God, the God of my ancestors, was my helper. He rescued me from the sword of Pharaoh. Verse 5. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, now came to visit Moses in the wilderness. He brought Moses' wife and two sons with him. And they arrived while Moses and the people were camped near the mountain of God. Now, I want us to stop right there. Now, notice something here in your Bible. It says, Jethro heard everything God has done for Moses and the people. But Moses' wife and his kids weren't with him. We'll get there. From a family perspective, Moses kind of fell a little bit here. Can we agree? Well, yeah, can you imagine all this thing? Moses, this mighty man of God, but yet his children are not experiencing it. So his father-in-law brought his wife and his son, verse 6. Jethro had sent a message to Moses saying, I, Jethro, your father-in-law, I am coming to see you with your wife and your sons. Verse 7. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed low and kissed him. They asked about each other's welfare and then went into Moses' tent. Moses told his father-in-law everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and Egypt on behalf of the Israelites. He also told about all the hardships they had experienced along the way and how the Lord had rescued his people from all their troubles. Jethro was delighted when he heard about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel as he rescued them from the hand of the Egyptians. Praise the Lord, Jethro said, for he has rescued you from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh. Yes, he had rescued Israel from the powerful hand of Egypt. I know now that the Lord is greater than all other gods. Now remember, Jethro is not from Israel, all right? He's got different nationality, but he fears God. He was a priest. He worshiped the God of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. So he's testifying right there. Praise the Lord. He even went out. What did it say? The next verse. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, bought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. Aaron and all the elders of Israel came out to join him in a sacrificial meal in the presence of Now, there's so much here you can learn. But here in verse 7, we can see Jethro and Moses' father-in-law had a very intimate relationship. So Moses respected his father-in-law. And the Bible doesn't say how long they were in each other's tent to talk about all the things God has done. But each of them, especially Moses, he had a great testimony. Jethro's wise advice, verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's dispute against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. I wonder how many of us would wait that long for the pastor. They had to see the pastor. Let me remind you again. God put me here as the angel of the church. And if I am your pastor, sometimes you might dream God speaking to you and I'm the one showing up. That doesn't mean I'm God, no. But I am the angel of the church. So therefore, I stand before God for you. That's why ministry, number one, ministry can't be a job. It must be a call. Now, in it, through it, the Lord will provide and take care of you. Because if ministry is a call, sometimes, you know what? You might become to the stage where you don't care because it's just a job. How many of us are doing a job we don't like? You know, maybe you were at a job where you don't like. Well, yeah, okay, all right, come on. Pray the Lord change your career. You know, I remember being a salesman, car salesman. I was the worst car salesman ever. I worked in car business for 9 months. I sold 2 cars, one to my uncle, one to my best friend. I got to tell you, 9 months later, when the company realized this guy is worthless, they let me go. You know? So I changed career. I'm like, I can't be a car salesman. You know, that's it. I cannot sell a car. And you think, I love people. I love to talk to people. I should be able to sell a car. But at that time, I couldn't. You know, it's a dog-eat-dog business. I felt like that wasn't for me. I didn't want to deal with that. So I never sell a car. 2 cars in 9 months. I should put that in my resume. You know, I better not go apply for a car salesman position anywhere. But it says they waited before him, before Moses, from morning till evening. Verse 14. When Moses' father-in-law saw all Moses was doing for the people, he asked, What are you really accomplishing here, dude? That's why. That is one of the reasons we need spiritual fathers. We need spiritual. I mean, I love picking. Like last week, PK was with us. He was with us Saturday and Sunday, and he left Monday. I tell you, those 2 days, we sat with him. It's like, I feel like I needed him. You need your spiritual authority. You need your spiritual father. God put them in your life. You know, we live in a generation where it's like nobody wants to hear, unless your boss tells you what to do. You know, sometimes you're like, well, I guess it's my boss. I better listen, you know. But you need your spiritual authority. Why? Because God put him in your life to protect you. Do not continue to live your life without a covering. Make sure you find yourself under a covering. Who has the authority to speak in your life? Who does? Who is your spiritual father? Who is your spiritual authority? Who is your mentor? Who is that person that can say, you know what? Right here needs adjustment. And the thing is, you're going to submit. You need this person. Moses and his father-in-law had a wonderful relationship. So that's why the father-in-law felt comfortable enough to say, come on, Moses, what are you trying to accomplish? It doesn't matter how old you are, you always need someone in your life that can speak the truth. Someone in your life that can be like, you know what? He's my pastor. This week I had a really good experience. We have couples ministry back in Haiti. And I have a pastor, a couple of pastors, different guys that overseeing those ministries. But still today I am kind of the lead guy. And some of those people, it's like the reverence. And just this is what happened. The wife called me. She knows the word. The guy is going through some tough time right now, you know. It's like whatever he's going through is affecting his relationship with his wife. So therefore, she says, Pastor, I have tried everything. I tried to talk to him. I tried to reach out to him. But I see what's going on. I see what he's struggling with. And I'm trying to help, but he doesn't want to help. And I know if you talk to him, he will listen. I'm like, okay, wow. You remember, I'm studying this, okay? I'm studying covering priorities, make sure you under someone. All the glory to Jesus Christ. But she can acknowledge that among everybody else he can listen to, I am one person. If I talk to him, he might come to his senses. It was amazing when she said that. I'm like, wow, you think so? She said, yeah. Then I called him. I said, hey, when you have some time, call me. And then he called me. I was on the phone with two of them for about an hour. I just listened. It was amazing, guys. I experienced a miracle on the phone. Just asking questions. The guy just like, yeah, I got it. You know, it's like, yeah. I didn't even tell him what to do. He got it. But somehow she understood. My husband have this spiritual authority in his life. If ever this spiritual me talk with him or have, you know, listen to him, he will come to his senses. And that's exactly what happened. I tell you this to tell you, make sure you're covered. Who can speak in your life? You know, that's the worst place a son or a daughter needs to be, when your parents are like, you know what? I can't talk to him. I can't. You don't want the Holy Spirit to stop convincing you. You don't want to be in a position where your spiritual authority, like Jethro here, Jethro could be like, well, you know what? I wish I could say something. I wish I could really tell him this. Come on, dude. What are you trying to accomplish? Why are you trying to do this, all this alone, while everyone stand around you from morning till evening? So Jethro noticed. That's why a good spiritual authority will have eyes on you. Sometimes you might be going to a church. You attend that church, and the guy that's leading the church is not your pastor. You know why? Your pastor will have an eye on you. Your pastor will have a burden on you. When you don't show up here, or you don't go to home group, your pastor will notice. Your pastor is not nosy. He's not nosy. He's just have a burden. A good pastor have a burden. He can't help not to notice. Why? Because the Lord puts him in your life for such season to watch over you, to make sure you're not destroying yourself like Moses here. Moses, verse 15, replied, oh, because the people come to me to get ruling from God. Okay, that's good. We get that straight. Moses got that priority. You know, the people come to me for counsel. The people come to me if they have a Bible questions, if they're reading something they don't understand. The people come to me even if they have conflict with each other. You know, sometimes you need that. You know, if you can't resolve, you feel like you can't get to a resolution or a solution, you know, it's good to bring someone that would be for the two of you. Someone who is not biased. And your lead, your pastor shouldn't be biased. a good leader shouldn't be biased. So Moses got that straight. Because the people come to me to get ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to me and ask the one who set, and I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them his instruction. Jethro said, this is not good. Guys, I don't know. Can you help me out here? What's not good here? I mean, you think about it. Moses is doing his thing. But Jethro, Moses' spiritual authority, says, come on, Moses. you're not doing it right. You're going to, if you have your Bible, you need to underline that, wear you are going to wear yourself out. I've learned so much in this chapter. You're going to wear yourself out. Not only that, but you're also going to wear the people out too. This job is too heavy of a burden for you to handle by yourself. So this opened my eyes once again. So I can set up my priorities straight. Priority number one. I must be a good husband and a father. If my house is not an oasis, I can be successful everywhere out there. I could be so famous everywhere out there. But if my wife and my three children cannot look at me, or, you know, when I'm talking in front of them, they can say, yeah, this man, he's a man of integrity. He's always there for me. He's kind. Well, he's not severe. That's not the word I want. He disciplines us when he needs to. He's strict. He's got principles. He's a man of principles. So my priority number one as a married man is to make sure my wife, till death set us apart, she's number one. I told you, I'm going to tell you about my priorities, okay? And then you let God deal with you. I'm not going to tell you what your priorities should be. No, this is not my job. I'm telling you what my priorities are as a man, as your pastor. My priority number one is to be, chapter 18, the first couple verses. Jethro heard everything God was doing, all the miracles God was doing. But Moses, where was his wife? With his father-in-law. Where were Moses' sons? You know, there are commentary that suggested that Moses' son didn't make it to the promised land. Can you imagine? I tell you, I love you, church. I love my church. I love you guys with all my heart and all my passion. But I don't love you more than Kendra. And thank God that's the way it is. Because I can have another church, but I cannot have another wife. My kids cannot have another father. You know, when I talk to pastors, I've got younger pastors that we're mentoring. I always tell them, man, you make sure your priorities are straight. You make sure that you live as a good husband. It doesn't matter if you've been married for 60 years. You make sure that women is on top of the list. Now, can you imagine if I would be saying all that stuff about my wife and she can't bear witness to it? No, she can bear witness. She can say, yeah, my husband loves me. He cares for me. He takes care of me. It's the same thing, emotionally, physically. He's kind, he's patient. Priority. Oh, you going to wear yourself out? Verse 18, I go back to it. And the people. This job is too much for you to handle. Now listen to me. I love this. The guy's like, now listen to me. I mean, how would you like it for me to come to you? Are we talking? I said, now you listen. This is stupid. Or would you get offended? I cannot take the position God placed me in your life until you accepted me. I'm not here to beat on you. I'm not here to abuse you. Do you think it's easy for me to say, come on, then, yeah, okay, man, you can just be a supporter. Do you think it's easy? It's not. Do I worry? Yes. Do I have a chart for Den? I wish Den would be like, kind of, all right, take a different path. But I'm like, the more I talk with him, I'm like, okay, yeah, all right, okay, yeah. You know, so therefore I am for then, guess what? I'm going to go with what he sends, the way he sends he should go. And do you think I'm going to put my children in the position, even if they're able, musically, vocally, do you think I'm going to put that responsibility on them? No! The church is God's church, and God called me to be a voice, a leader, a mentor in your life. And guess what? Until you accepted me as that mentor, there's a lot of things I can't do. I can't protect you. I'd hate to see someone behind the camera 50 Sundays, 50 times for the year, and they never have time to come to church and receive. They'll never get discipled. Our goal as a church, is to make disciples, making sure that when the trumpet call sound, we all be ready. Or the Lord calls you home. You know, if the Lord calls me home, I tell you, you celebrate. You're gonna miss me, okay? Let's not deny that. But this is, it's a celebration, okay? I will miss you too, but guess what? I'm gonna celebrate. It's gonna be a celebration. You know, we're gonna let people cry, whatever, but it's going to be a celebration, because I'm like, man, I know you're celebrating right now. You know? Listen to me. That's what Jethro told him. Is your heart open enough to receive correction from your spiritual authority? Moses felt safe with Jethro. Even though Moses thought he was doing the right thing. He thought. And then Jethro was like, come on, man. Yes, this is not good. This is not good, man. Moses, you don't get it. This is not good. I could see Moses like, are you serious? I mean, are you serious, Father Jethro? Are you serious? I'm just representing the people before God. Now listen to me, and let me give you a word of advice. May God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative. Priority number two. My priority number two, I represent you to God. My priority number one is to be a good father, a good husband. My priority number two is to represent you in my life. In my life, guys, I breathe, I dream. It's like everything I do is you. It's ministry, it's people. And guess what? I love it. It's heavy. It's a yoke. But it's the Lord's yoke. When I feel like I can't carry it, I go to God. I represent you before the Lord. You know, there is an old way of doing church that would wear the pastor out, but also it wears the people out. And that model is where the pastor does all the work. You see, I can't be your trustee. I'm a handyman. I'm a very handyman. This message is a very personal message. I love doing work. We're going to trust God for a worship minister person. But I'll lead worship. Well, guess what? I don't lead worship to you. I lead worship to Jesus. What I do here on Sunday morning is something, it's just repeat over. That's what I do all week long. So it's not a burden. But I got to be careful. You got to be careful. My responsibility, my job is not to do the work of the ministry as your pastor. But as a believer, I have the responsibility to do the work of the ministry. Did that make sense? Does that make sense? As we all have the responsibility to do the work of the ministry. That's why, you know, I challenge all of you, and I thank God for you who make coming to church a priority. Or going to find a home group a priority. You make that a priority. Because you cannot live your Christian life every Sunday. You know, there's something I would love to do. I think Dave and I, we talked about that one time, a couple weeks ago. And I even tried that at a different church. I said, okay, so guys, why don't we do this? We have a family feast every Sunday. But when I'm talking about family feast, we're not talking about you cook your little meal. We're talking about killing goats, killing cows. Some of you don't like goats, but you're talking about turkey, fish dinner, you know, lobster. We're talking about grilled chicken. You know, I don't know. What's your favorite food? Come on. We'll have it all. Fried chicken, you know. I mean, we'll have everything. Carrot chicken, you know. Bacon, you know, all that stuff. You know, we'll have pecan pie, right, Nancy? We have a good pecan pie. We have an apple pie. We've got ice cream. I tell you, Sunday, every Sunday morning, but we'll even serve breakfast. And then we'll come here and have a good time in worship, you know, and then we'll get a little hungry after a couple hours. We'll go out there and we'll eat again, and then maybe some of us might go somewhere else. But Sunday, this is the day for us to come here and eat. Under one condition. And you know it. You cannot eat anything until next Sunday. I know all of you like, yeah, you're not serious, are you? You know, it's completely impossible. Right? Completely impossible. Physically, it is impossible to eat once a week. Spiritually, it is impossible to eat once a week. That's why we're going to be talking about the signs of spiritual maturity. One of the signs that shows that you are mature, even in a child, a baby right now, the baby is hungry and he cries. And then the parents decided, okay, all right, she needs noodles. All right? It's noodles, right? Baby likes noodles. She is noodles. But as that baby developed into a toddler, then she started to understand, well, my belly is hungry. Okay, then I need food. So then she can speak. She says, Mama, food. And we all are mature people. We don't mess around our food. We don't miss lunch. As a matter of fact, we schedule it. We schedule lunch. If you skip lunch, you schedule dinner. Why? Because this body needs it. How's the body? You know, that's how they say, how you doing in Africa, right? How's the body? How the body? Your body needs it. Your body needs the food. So my responsibility is not to do the work of the ministry as your pastor, but as a leader, I do the work of the ministry. From reading Exodus chapter 18, I realize my call is to equip. But how will I equip you if you only showed up once in a while? One of my priority, I love this verse in the Bible that says, oh, my heart leap for joy when they say, let's go to the house of the Lord. Yeah, I'm like, okay, let's go to the house of the Lord. Coming together in your brain should be like exciting. If it's not, you deal with it. You go to God and find out why it's not exciting. You go to Jesus, find out, why am I losing my fire? Why am I losing my passion? Why do I feel like forsaking the assembly of the saints? Why? Ask yourself that. And then if that's your case, In my case, there are times I feel like forsaking the assembly of the saints. And you know what I do? I just do the opposite. I just run towards the assembly of the saints. There are times I'm like, I can't go to a home group. I had two jobs. I was a plumber from 6 to 4 in the afternoon. And then I needed extra money, so I delivered pizza from 9 till like, I mean from 6 to like 9, 10 o'clock, and I had to wake up. And I realized, oh, you know, time is what they say. Time is like money, right? Time is like money. If you don't schedule it, if you don't budget it, you'll waste it. But then every time you're spending unbudgeted money, that means you're taking money from somewhere else that should cover something very important. Now, we can always work for more money. You can have three jobs for more money. But we all have 24 hours. 24 hours, that's it. Unless you schedule it, it doesn't happen. And when I'm talking about growth, spiritual growth will never happen in your life if you're not intentional about it. If you don't make spiritual growth a priority, guess what? You're going to struggle. I cannot do life by myself. I need you. You need me. We best friend as friend can be, with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. You didn't know I know that song, didn't you? That's truth, right? I need you. You need me. Don't think you don't need anybody. If you're saying you don't need anybody, you know what's happening to you. You are hurt. If you're saying, well, I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. I don't need people. Check your heart. Because we all need people. God created us for intimacy, not only with him, but with each other. You know, when I realized in 24 hours, and then, of course, sometimes I get home, you know, the kids, all of them were under 10 years old. I mean, one of my favorite things to do is just go home. I'm tired, but they wanted to play, man. We rolling. I tell you, those kids, it looks like they had a boost of energy when I got home. I'm like, no, I mean, I was like, I'm tired. But man, daddy, we want to, one of the things they wanted me to do, horsey, right? Horsey. When I'm tired with my legs and then I lay on my belly and I do them on my back. I'm like, oh man, I'm tired. Daddy, me again. I'm like an hour and a half. I'm exhausted. Until that day, I figure out, okay, I'm going to lay on them. You know, I do horsey and then I flip them and then I put them under me and then I just put them on a daddy lock until they cry. And then they all cry, mommy. And I'm like, yes, that works. I was like, okay, that I got the formula, okay? That works. And I remember, man, I need the church. I need prayer. You know what I did? I look around the church, around the cell groups. I realized cell groups meet Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. None of those nights worked for me. You know what I did? This is what I did. I was very influential at the church. So I said, hey, I talked to Pastor Kent, and I said, I'm going to start a cell group Wednesday or Tuesday morning at 5 in the morning. Priorities. Priorities. Most people are like, wow, who's going to wake up at 5 in the morning to go to a home group? Are you desperate enough? Is your life depend on that fellowship? Who's going to wake up at 4 in the morning to read their Bibles? Who's going to make it a priority this year? Like, okay, I don't really read my Bible. I don't really feed myself. Or if I feed myself, I get, you know. Thank God for those Bible verses that pop on your phone apps. Thank God for them. God, it's good stuff. But I call those fast food. It's still good. But there's nothing like opening your Bibles in your iPad, your phone, or physical Bible with you and God. Non-divided attention with you and God. And allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart. There's nothing like it. But when you look at 24 hours, you're like, where do I find time? God, there's no time. You remember that picture? The guy's like, what do I do? How do I deal with all that? God gave you 24 hours priorities. And I did. I started a home group Wednesday morning, 5 in the morning. I announced it at the church. I said, hey, guys, you know, I'm just starting a group 5 in the morning. And then there are some guys at church. I talked to them. I said, hey, are you in home group? No. Well, 5 in the morning. What time you go to work? 6:30. Well, guess what? Then you wake up at 4:30. You get to the church. And then we meet. It was amazing. I had a home group Wednesday morning, 5 in the morning. Those were the best days in the week. I'm talking to you about my priorities. That's one thing that keep my fire going for Jesus. That's one thing that keep my love. You know, when life comes to knock me down, I've got places where I can hang on to. I've got people that I can, you know, hang on to. My goal is to equip you, to provide. What does equipping mean? It means to provide someone with what they need to fulfill their purpose. That's my goal. That's my call. My calling is to provide you with what you need to fulfill your purpose, to fulfill the ministry God calls you out there in your job. You know, I thank God for all of you who's got great opportunity to minister to people out there. But are you positioning yourself under me to disciple you, to be equipped? You know, but I said being equipped means to provide someone with what they need to fulfill their purpose, but not just any purpose. I'm talking about God-given purpose. Whether you're a teacher, you are a doctor, you are a nurse, whatever you're doing, or maybe you retire, you're interceding for your children, you know, you're serving your family, whatever you're doing, my call is to equip you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, remember your leaders who spoke God's word to you and imitate their faith. This is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. It says, remember those people God put as authority in your life and imitating their faith. That's why I want to follow Jesus like a child. And as long as I'm following Jesus, I'm saying all of you, keep your eyes on Jesus. But as long as I'm following Jesus, watch my example. Paul said it. He told Timothy, follow my example. See how I stand firm. See how I remain faithful. Remember, you know, being equipped allows God's grace to keep us focused on the purpose of the church. You know, the other priority I have, I love the church. You know, Kendra and I were talking about the other day. We said, oh man, in our marriage, we had some issues. But one of the things we can't recall having any issues on is church. Because we both love God's church. You know, it's like, man, in ministry, from day one, God called us. But I don't think we've never had a major break when it comes to church. People, you know, there's a statistic out there saying in 2045, evangelical church, Christian church, it's going to be, I can't remember the percentage, but it was pretty low. Because people are losing interest. And you ask yourself, why? I say, okay, I don't have to figure out why. But from all those people that are losing interest in God's thing, I'm not in it. Are you with me? I'm talking to you about my priorities. It doesn't matter. I will follow Christ. As for me and my house, we will follow Jesus. As for me in this church, it could be 5-10 people. That's why I'm talking to you about your priorities. If you don't make time, if you don't make following Christ, pursuing coming together, a priority, guess what's going to happen? This physical body sometimes is going to tell you, oh, man, no, you're not going. Oh, man, it's so cold out there. Oh, man, what a rain. Oh, man, I can't do it. Oh, my butt hurts. I can't do it. Oh, no, I can't do it. To be continued. I seriously thought this message was going to be 25 minutes. Is God speaking to you this morning? Alyssa, come sit on the piano for me. You know, just sit on it. Yeah, just sit on it. What is God telling you today? What are your priorities? I'll finish next week. But what are some things you're like, you know what? I need adjustments. I invite you, just close your eyes. Is there something you need to repent or something you need to make adjustment? Or do you need to come to the altar? Remember, there is safety at the altar. Maybe there are something the Lord has put his fingers on that you have left slip your priorities. And you need to repent or rearrange things. Give an answer. Give a response to God's word this morning. If you need prayer, come forward.